time.
Good.
This is Store and Forward, a podcast about the past and future of amateur radio with Kay Savitz, K6KJN of the Internet Archive, and Steve Stroh, NHENJ, editor of Zero Retries magazine. And I always like to include the date. Today is Sunday, July 14th.
2024.
Yes, that will be important in the coming years.
I've spent so many, you know, as doing my work in DLARC, I get materials from all ages, from going back, 60, 70 years. And sometimes the material says, like, you know, we will be having this event on Sunday, July 14th. And I'm looking at it going, what year is that? So then I'm pulling out, okay, what year, pulling up things, what years did, July 14th fall on a Sunday? And like, well, this doesn't look like it was from 1962. So this must have been from, 1974. I appreciate the people who say what year things have happened.
One a similar frustration to me is that I'll find some interesting website, mm-hmm. About an amateur radio club, and they'll talk about, they'll name a city, or they'll name a county, or, the Tri-County area. We're the biggest amateur radio club in the Tri-County area. No clue
right.
Where exactly they are.
Yeah. And it makes sense to them in the context at the time, but they don't realize that someone's going to be worrying about this stuff 20, 30, 40 years later.
Well, and not to mention that you are doing such a fantastic job of digging out all of these amateur radio club newsletters. These are just gems, and so now you're trying to make sense of these things, reading these things in the context of hundreds of amateur radio newsletters. Mm-hmm. So kudos.
Thank you.
And while I'm on that subject,
yeah.
thank you for salvaging the Texas Packet Radio Society newsletters out of the Wayback Machine. That was fantastic.
That's good stuff, isn't it?
They were amazing back in the day. They had some really sharp folks working on that project. They built their own hardware, a network controller. They built their own protocol. They were using some leased lines that they had going across. And they made the very valid point, which was controversial at the time, that Texas is a big state. There's mm-hmm. lots of nothing and nothing, no towers, no nothing that they could use to, try and do it with radio links. So yeah, it would have been Texas amateur radio would be a perfect test case for a geosynchronous satellite.
So the full story here, I want to see a satellite just for Texas, just kind of hanging over it. Yeah, I love that. Or some very large balloon or something just hovering there. The story here, in case you don't remember it or didn't read it in Zero Retries, was that you, Steve, had donated, I think it was 3 copies of the Texas Packet Radio Society quarterly report newsletter, and from 1990, and one from 2001, and you donated them to the DLARC, and we got them scanned and put them online. And then one day I was just like, why don't we only have 3? This seems like good stuff. So I dug around in the Wayback Machine and I found another 15 issues, and that were in Wayback Machine. They were there, they were saved, but they weren't exactly easy to find. So I pulled them out and then put them in a collection. So now we've got a total of 18 issues spanning, 1990 to 2002 or something like that. And it's not a complete collection or anything, but if anyone has any more, I would love to make a more complete collection of this newsletter.
I know a few people who were in TPRS that are still around, and I'm going to reach out to them now that you twigged me on that. And probably for context, again, for posterity, the most recent issue of Zero Retries that we're going to be referring to is Zero Retries 0160, which happens to be the beginning of the fourth year of Zero Retries, publication of Zero Retries. I've been doing it continuously for 3 years now, weekly issues, and then a few bonus issues. And it's really, really cool that the subscriber count keeps ticking up, and we're at 1900 plus subscribers now. And so
that's great. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Also,
thank
I want
you.
To point out, I'm subscribed from two email addresses, so don't get too excited.
Okay. Well, one of the funnier things that came out of that issue was that Substack, the publication system that I use for Zero Retries, has this semi-geolocated statistics. And so it said, you're being read in 49 states. And I said, oh, that's curious. Who's the holdout? You know, so I dived in. And there was about half a dozen. It turns out that there were like half a dozen states that Substack said had no readers whatsoever. So I named those states. And I get like four or five emails from folks from New Hampshire. They wanted to assure me that I was being read in New Hampshire. Nobody else, none of the other states cared, you know. And, you know, and then it said that I had something like 700 subscribers, you know, and so it wasn't, you know, the statistics are wildly skewed, you know, and they're just basically guessing at geolocation.
Sure.
You know, so and so it was just funny. I tried to put a funny spin on it, but apparently people thought I was dissing New Hampshire for not being hip.
Good
to
know to that
read Zero Retries.
New Hampshire is well represented.
It is. Very, very proud to be reading Zero Retries.
That's
in New
funny.
Hampshire.
It's cool.
So speaking of Zero Retries, you said that you have a fair amount of travel ahead of you.
I do. A couple of trips coming up. DLARC related. Tomorrow, apparently, I am headed to Denver, Colorado, and apparently in a warehouse in Denver are seven pallets of information, of books and magazines and newsletters and videotapes and who knows what else from the estate of Bob Cooper. Bob Cooper was a person who was instrumental in figuring out satellite television and like just making like cable television industry just like work in the beginning. He did all sorts of interesting things with pirate radio, pirate television, and honestly, and I've read like the blurb on the back of his book, which was he wrote a book called Television's Pirates Hiding Behind Your Picture Tube. I can't really tell from the blurb if he was just like anti-piracy or pro-piracy or just documenting the piracy, but he seemed like a fascinating guy. Let's see. You
know, I remember reading of him in the context of amateur radio. I think I probably read about him in 73 magazine back in the day. And Coop's infamous, I guess, to the broadcast industry that he was the one that figured out that all of the, in the early days, HBO distributed its content to the regional cable systems via satellite. And the links, and it was in NTSC 6 megahertz, you know, unencrypted,
yeah, free
analog, you know,
free to air,
And Coop figured out how to do cheap C-band television receivers, and published it, and they were apoplectic. And Coop single-handedly caused the entire satellite industry to start encrypting stuff so that it couldn't be downloaded. But it was absolutely glorious in those, you know, first 3 or 4 years that he revealed that. And of all companies, Drake, the very famous amateur radio manufacturer, pivoted from amateur radio to satellite receivers. And they made a lot of money from that. But, you know, it all started with Coop, you know, figuring this out and saying, hey, folks, you want free TV and you're in the hinterlands out of the way, you know, range. And it was fabulously, you know, popular, you know, in the areas that did not have big television coverage.
Sure. And HBO and the like at the time was just like security through obscurity, right? Who could possibly get this information? Yeah.
Well, and you could legitimately argue that Coop started the direct broadcast satellite industry for proving that there was a market for it when they had no clue that people cared about this stuff.
He ended his life his life ended badly worded. He lived in New Zealand when he died about a year ago. But all of his papers and things had been shipped to Denver, and they've kind of just been sitting there in a warehouse since then. And his family and friends have been trying to figure out what to do with this material. And they found us, they found the internet, the archive, and they wanted, you know,
they had a little help finding the internet archive.
Did they? Was that you? I was looking through my emails about it, and I got an email from you about it saying like Bob Cooper died and this, you know, you should look into this. And I was like in the process of looking into it when I got an email from Mike, Bob's friend and associate, who was just like, so did you put Mike, send Mike?
No, I reached out to his widow, because her email address was on the website.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, I'm so sorry for your loss. And, you know, I think the world of Coop and, you know, his contributions, and he was a ham, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a fair amount of material out there, you know, about Coop and ham radio. But yeah, she sent me back a very nice, but very non-committal email. But I had mentioned DLARC, you know, the possibility. And, so apparently she followed up on it.
Well, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So the, I already have somebody has already inventoried the boxes that I'm going to find when I get to, Denver. And so I'm not going in there blind. I have a really good idea of what I'm up against, you know, what's there. And the stuff is not like well organized right now, but that's my job. But there's newsletters and there's all sorts of videotapes, but a lot of the videotapes are in PAL format or CCAM or something weird because he traveled all over the world and, you know, and lived in New Zealand. And so that'll be fun. And apparently some of the boxes include like hardware, which I really have no need for. And some of it's just like, you know, certain kinds of antennas and things. So we're just going to photograph that stuff and then have to let it go. Anyway, so that's going to be me this week, living in a warehouse in Denver, sorting the stuff, getting it to Internet Archives warehouse in California, getting some of it started to be scanned right away. So that'll be an adventure.
Well, that's the fantastic thing about DLARC, and well, DLARC is just one mission of the internet, or one, what do you call it?
ARM, one.
Yeah.
Project. Okay. Project.
One project of the Internet Archive, and it's set up to do stuff like this. And nobody else in the world, I think, that I can think of, with maybe the possibility of the Library of Congress for something really big. But they wouldn't tackle something like this. And this stuff would all be lost to obscurity because it's, as you point out, how many pallets?
Seven, I think. It's 116 boxes. I know that, yeah.
Seven pallets of stuff. That's beyond the ability of even the most passionate, you know, amateur group to tackle, you know. And yet Internet Archive, a mission this big. Oh, it's Tuesday, you know.
Right.
Kind of. Yeah. So fantastic.
The funny thing, I have not done what are they, Internet Archive has a word for this. It's like field trip or something that they when they go to a library or something and they library that's closing, and they take all their material and box it up and get it to where it needs to go. Internet Archive does this, and they have away teams. That's what they call them. They have away
Oh
teams
yeah,
that do
wait.
that. And I 107 boxes. I misspoke before. So I was talking to Internet Archive, and I was just like, okay, I have this material. Can you guys send an away team to go get the stuff and take care of it? And they're just like, no, okay, you're gonna have to do it. This is too small for an away team. It's like seven pallets, 107 boxes. There's like this is too small potatoes for us to send an away team.
Wow.
You can do it yourself. So I'm just like, that's fine, but I don't know how to palletize box. I'm gonna have to repalletize this stuff and make sure it can be properly shipped. And I'm like, you're gonna have to write me a document, like explain it like I'm five. How do I properly palletize? And they did. There's like it, and they were just like, it's no big deal. We do this all the time. It's easy. You can do it. So, all right. So, that is gonna be my week. And then next month in August, I'm planning on going to Lima, Ohio. What's in Lima, Ohio, Steve?
Bear
Lima.
radio
Lima,
sales,
Lima, Lima, Ohio, right?
Lima,
Lima.
and the factory that makes M1 Abrams tanks.
Guess which one I'm going to, between the M1 Abrams tanks or Fair Radio Sales. Where do you think I'm going?
Well, given that Fair Radio Sales announced with great fanfare last year that they were getting out of the business, which to me is just a fascinating concept, because I've actually been to Fair Radio Sales on a rainy Monday, I think it was, after a hamvention. I was the only customer who had shown up, and so they turned me loose in the stacks. And this was honest to God like going into Indiana Jones' warehouse. I just wandered. I wandered the warehouse just looking at stuff for an hour. It was amazing. And I would glance at something, and it would be a tank boresight or something. It was fascinating. And what was most amazing to me about it is that I wasn't the least bit tempted to buy anything. It was all surplus. Honest to God, like one of the last, piece collections of surplus, military and government surplus that you could actually get. All the other places there, when I was growing up, there were dozens of such places. There was one in Massachusetts that I would occasionally buy stuff from, but Bear is like an institution, and they would advertise in amateur radio magazines, and they put out this quirky catalog, and all the labels were from Dymo. It's like, it was hilarious. So, oh, Godspeed on that. So you're doing, what are you rescuing there?
They are giving DLARC all of the manuals, all of the catalogs,
Oh, wow.
all the books. And they basically sold some stuff off at Hamvention, and they're planning on having an auction in late August, and they generously said that I could swoop in before the auction and take all the paperwork that I want.
Wow.
One of my concerns, honestly, was Philip over there. It was just like, someone's gonna some of the paperwork is in some very nice metal filing cabinets, and it's like, someone's gonna want to buy these filing cabinets. I'm like, that's great. They can have the filing cabinets, but I don't want them to buy the filing cabinets because they want the filing cabinets and then throw away all the paper. So they're letting me get in there first and take everything. I think it's about an hour and 15 minutes drive away from Lima is Fort Wayne, Indiana. Fort Wayne, Indiana, where is the one of the Internet Archive scanning centers. So I'm going to rent a U-Haul van and shuttle boxes of paperwork straight to the scanning center. And I expect it will be maybe three round trips to do it. I don't know. And we'll see what happens. So
Oh,
that's
I'm so jazzed that, DLARC is in existence, and you all this work is funded, and you can just you know, be able to handle all this stuff, and the scanning centers are standing by to ingest it all. And
Yeah, all this stuff will get scanned. It'll be put online and, you know, fully searchable. People will be able to read this online, you know, forever, and it'll be searchable, browsable, downloadable. It'll
that's
be there.
fantastic.
Yeah. So that is my that's going to be I'll let you know, we'll talk, I'm sure, in the future how this actually went, but that's the plan for the rest of the summer is those two trips.
This sounds like your version of the great Manuals Plus. Well, you actually played part in the Manuals Plus story.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, this is just yep, another iteration of that. So
You're probably wading a bit deep into inside baseball those topics for a
yeah.
podcast.
So
So
yeah.
let's see.
So and I think we have time for probably one more topic. Try to keep these bright and tight. But so you mentioned 73 before, I think. Time
Oh, yeah.
magazine. And I don't know, I wanted to ask, 'cause you seem particularly fascinated with 73, and you mentioned it often in Zero Retries, and I want to know why. What's the deal? Why are you so interested in 73?
73 was my very first exposure to amateur radio. I did not, when I was probably 12, 13, something like that. I grew up in a small town called Port Clinton, Ohio. It's about as non-techie as you can imagine for the late 60s and early 70s. There was nothing. The high tech of the entire town was the phone company, whose garbage me and a couple of buddies raided re regularly because they threw away good stuff. Anyway,
You're just like dumpster diving? Oh,
yes, exactly. Dumpster diving. It's
nice.
literally dumpster
What's the best thing you got?
My buddy got a full hotel switchboard, cherry wood case in perfect shape. Somebody had salvaged it out of a job and set it aside next to the dumpster, apparently to come back. And my buddy carried it home on his bicycle. That was the score. But they would throw away entire telephones. Like they would be cleaning out the truck, and you know, just th throw back the truck up and throw stuff into the dumpster. And we, handsets, cords, lots of good stuff. So anyway, so I was, you know, looking in the magazine section of the local library, you know, where they had all the electronics magazines, you know, free for browsing, you know, when I had time. And I found at the bottom of the magazine rack, there were these like six copies of 73 magazine back, you know, from that era. And what's this? And there was a cover, you know, radio on the cover. So, oh, radio. So I dived into it, and 73 exposed me to the world of amateur radio that I literally did not know existed. And of course, it wasn't being covered in any of the, you know, magazines that I was reading. Well, I think probably Popular Electronics would occasionally mention amateur radio, but nothing of real substance. So anyway, I learned about amateur radio from 73, and I was a subscriber as soon as I could afford to pay for a subscription. And I was a subscriber to 73 long before I was a ha actual licensed ham. And then you know, the Internet Archive did the unthinkable thing of putting the entire, what was it, 40 plus year run of 73 online, all of it. And oh man, that was a lost week when I discovered that, you know. So and that goes back to, you know, a theme that I make fairly often in Zero Retries, is that 73 being online, all of it being online, and you can follow discussions and part one and part two of articles and things like that. It's all there. You can download it. You can print it. You know, all the antenna projects are still re completely relevant in 2020, in the 2020s. And that's in real con and it's pub, and of course, Internet Archive, everything is available free to the public. Even stuff, you know, that you can't, you've got to apply controlled digital lending to, everything is public to anyone worldwide. And so you can learn about amateur radio from 73, and you can't do this, you can't say the same thing for the current amateur radio publications that are, you know, behind a paywall. And unfortunately, the powers that be of those organizations just don't get it. That their problem isn't piracy that they're, you know, they're trying to guard against. It's irrelevance. Mm-hmm. They, you know, those publications might as well not exist if they're behind a paywall. So anyway, 73 is just near and dear to my heart. It's a fantastic, it was a fantastic publication, and it was exactly, and I, the tone of Zero Retries is a direct result of what I read in 73. It's, you know, don't speak in scholarly tones like, for example, QEX does, you know, it's like, you know, and throw lots of math at the problem. Explain it like you're sitting across the bar, you know, with a beer in your hand, you know, and that's what I try to do in Zero Retries, is explain it, you know, conversationally. Don't get too deep in the weeds. So anyway, yeah, 73 is foundational to me. It's just one of the most wonderful publications it's ever been. Now, it got a little weird at the end with Wayne, kind of the pub editor, Wayne Green, kind of some interesting excursions, experiments. But, you know, that said, the magazine was great.
Indeed. Yeah. So. It's still a fun read. And yeah, I mean, you're right. I like old computer magazines, and if I read an old computer magazine, you know, from whatever, the 70s, 80s, or 90s, they're fun, but they're not in any way relevant to computers today. And the thing about radio is radio waves are radio waves.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And so those magazines, you could learn from them something, and it could be 100% useful today.
I enjoyed writing. So I sent a thank you note to Brewster Kale of Internet Archive, just thanking him for, you know, all the work that they did to get, you know, to create DLARC and finding you and, you know, all that. And he asked me to, you know, could we, and one of the points I made was that with all this material being out there, one of my favorite things to do is go back and look at things that were ideas that we either proposed or even attempted, but the technology of the day was not up to it. Mm-hmm. So here's a really good example, is that Phil Karn, KA9Q, who's, you know, a fantastically talented amateur radio operator and, you know, one of the principals of Qualcomm, he figured out that the PCs that were coming out in the early, like the 486 and the early Pentium, had more than enough processing power to be running digital signal processing routines on the on a microprocessor rather than a specialized DSP. He says, these are fantastically cheaper, and you've got one sitting on your desk probably, so you could be doing DSP stuff, you know, in your PC. And that was a radical idea, and it was radically inefficient. It was, you know, the microprocessors weren't set up like DSPs were, but you had one and you could do all these interesting things. And now we've got, now what we're doing is we've got this, you know, a gigahertz four core processor for $35. And the way we're doing a lot of the digital stuff nowadays is we hook up a great big A to D and we sample it as fast as we can, and those processors have no problem, and they're multitasking. Mm-hmm. So all those ideas that we had back then that were a real stretch, they're not such a stretch now. And that was the point I made in the blog post. And, you know, and I but then I cited different topic, went down a rabbit hole. But anyway, the idea is that these archives are valuable, not just for musty historical reasons. They're fantastic resources of interesting ideas, you know, that, and sometimes you just need a good idea and you want to explore, and it's all sitting there in DLARC. You know, you can, and of course you don't just, you know, do a, you know, a picture scan of the material that you ingest, you OCR it. So everything is keyword searchable. It might take you a while if you're not very exacting on your keyword search, but it's fun. So sorry, I could gush all day about DLARC. So thank you again for your role in DLARC and your hard work. And, you know, and I just really look forward to your articles every month or so in Zero Retries to see what, you know, you're seeing behind the scenes. And thank you for, you know, exposing all that stuff to the Zero Retries audience. It's a very, you know, fantastic resource.
You're welcome. It's fun to do. And yeah, it kind of forces me to sit down and go, okay, what have we done in the last month or 6 weeks or whatever, you know, what are the major points to add? And sometimes I think I told you the other day, I'm just like, you say, it's time for your column. I'm just like, I'm not sure I have much to say, you know, but what, and then once I actually sat down and looked at it, I mean, I wrote 1100 words and just like no time at all. And it was just like, oh yeah, you know, we added all these different collections and things. But yeah, it's good for me to get the macro view of it. Cause when you're just in the weeds, you know, uploading things, things get lost. So. All right. Should we call it?
Yeah. So we're just looking forward to getting going on year four of Zero Retries. And I still got projects to get done here in NAGNJ Labs. And I got to get back to that book and got et cetera. And I owe you some serious archive material of Zero Retries.
Yeah,
Kay, for the audience, Kay chided me for not having standalone archives of all the Zero Retries articles, and that stung and was motivating. So yeah, I'm gonna get
I mean, not having I'm gonna call you out publicly, not having them online outside of Substack, it's annoying, and I could chide you for that, but you don't have your own local copies of what you wrote. That is just dumb, sir.
Point taken, and you are absolutely right. And I hadn't thought about it until you made that very salient point. I thought, here I am, you know, going on and on about all the good stuff in DLARC, and Zero Retries isn't there because at the moment it's entirely online. And I tried to do a PDF of them, and that was just not that great. And everything that was PDF'd was all, you know, hard-coded to SARS. All the links were hard-coded to Substack. So I know how to fix that now. And thank you for the suggestions. And that is a primary project.
Great. So. That and writing the book and.
No, the archive, if I do what I you pointed out an interesting technique, and I realized that, hey, creating the archive makes it easy to ingest into the book. So it's a win-win. Great. So thanks again. And safe travels to Denver next week. And
thank you. I'll let you know how that goes. It's going to be great.
It's going to take a year to get all that stuff online, but you know, boy.
Some of it is going to definitely take a year. And some of it I am planning, you know, we'll see how the plan works. I'm planning on shipping a few things directly to scanning centers. Just like if there's a box that's already pre-sorted, I know all that, you know, that'll go straight to the scanning center, and that could be, you know, online in a couple of months. But the rest of it's gonna have to be resorted later, and when I'm in California. And so yeah, it'll be a process, but it'll be good. It'll be good.
Oh, so it's a two-stage thing. You're triaging.
Yeah, right? this is triage just to get the stuff out of Denver, out of the warehouse where they're sick of it, and move it to California where I have control of it. And yeah, there'll be a second sort later.
Okay. Yeah. Well, cool. Well, I look forward to reading next month's What's New with DLARC column and about.
I think I'm going to call it What I Did This Summer.
Yeah. There you go. And have fun in Lima. I can't imagine treasures that are waiting for you there.
No idea. I'm just going to go there with open eyes and open arms and
see what
I get.
Did you drop ship a pallet of boxes?
I sent a bunch of boxes, and now I'm actually second guessing myself, going like, I might need more boxes. I shipped like 120 boxes. I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen when I'm there. But you know, there's if I undershipped, then there's got to be a Office Depot or something somewhere, and you know, I'll just buy more boxes. We'll figure it out. This
That's
has
me.
been Store and Forward, a podcast about the past and future of ham radio. If you would like to contact us, you can email me, Kay Savitz, at kay at archive.org.
And if you want to email me, I am Steve, Steve dot Stroh, Stroh at gmail.com. And and Zero Retries is online at www.zero, Zero, Retries, Retries dot org. And keep a close look on the URL because most spell checkers try and change that to Zero Retries or Retires dot com or dot org. Rather. So.
And you can find the Digital Library of Amateur Radio Communications at archive.org/details/DLARC, all lowercase. And don't do it when you're in a hurry for the first time, because you'll gonna be want to spend a few hours there checking things out.
I one point of pride about DLARC is that I'm used to just typing it into the search bar, and I used to get a whole bunch of other DLARCs, and now it's the top selection. I just type in DLARC and it goes straight there.
Excellent. SE
So
unintentional SEO for the win. All
there you go.
right.
Take care, Kay.
Good talking to you,
See ya.
Steve.